Hello. I am sorry to inform you. The first 2 minutes of Tracy's Sunday school lesson were deleted by Frank Gunn. Tracy will repeat the missing 2 minutes in her subsequent lesson. We will now continue with Tracy's Sunday school lesson.
Experience that the only thing that really had power to make him even question that was the Word of God.
Yes.
If we got off on any tangent,
sir.
Like, you know, the earth's flat around.
Right.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
But anytime we spoke the word of truth,
sure.
It was what had power.
Exactly.
And also it delivered love, because we love these guys forever.
Well, sure.
So, you know, it has to have some love attached to it so they don't think you're just trying to manipulate them.
It's our call to do, speak the truth in love. And it's the love that breaks down the walls, and it's the truth that sets us free, right? The truth that we know ends up setting us free, and freedom comes by speaking truth.
So I think that's a very good example of what to do when you are speaking
yes.
to non-believers and trying to express through love
right.
and the truth, because he was pulverizing their brains with facts,
yeah.
with
yeah.
the science, with
yeah.
the evolution, with the
yeah.
this and the that.
Yeah.
And right before he took his leap of faith, he was speaking evolution.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Frankie and Darlene, I don't know what they, from their experience, because I'm observing all of this,
yeah.
right?
What they were feeling and taking in. But I know from observing, it was nothing but peace, joy, love,
yeah.
and speaking the word when we didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But
what
that, and the word, and so, and that is all you have to do. I know it. It's like we get so bogged down.
Yes.
thinking that we have to have the right words, be so perfect,
right.
and have a positive result. And sometimes you're not, most times you're not going to have that.
Exactly.
Because it may be a year later,
yes.
it may be 10 years later.
Exactly.
So it just...
It's that person's choice, because we talked about last week, when you think, you choose, and then you build. So as you're listening to me right now, every single one of you, as you're listening, you're thinking, you're choosing to take it, the information, and you're either going to build a tree or you're going to reject it, and then tomorrow you won't remember anything. But what's really cool is that as each one of you are thinking and you're building this tree about renewing your mind, when you look at every person's image, your tree is different than the person next to you. It's just like our fingerprints. Every single person's trees look different, even though you're taking in information. And Kim shared this one day. She's sitting in church, and her whole family's sitting there, and they all hear the same exact message. And then on the way home, they're talking about it. And she realized everyone heard something different. And isn't that how the Holy Spirit is? We get to hear what we need. And when we're listening and we're attentive, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us what we need to hear for ourselves. And how many of you sit in church and you think, oh my gosh, I wish so-and-so was here?
Yeah.
right? You're just like, do you want to say something?
No, just say, I was thinking about Kitty's that.
Right. right. That's what we do. We're like, oh my gosh. We say, this is what we think. I sure hope he's listening.
Yeah.
I sure hope he's listening. I sure hope, and I'm sure Duane's thinking, I sure hope she's listening. I hope she heard that. And last week, Pastor was talking about, so funny how our messages are kind of parallel with, he's talking about strongholds and repentance, and repentance means, changing your mind, and we're talking about changing your mind. So it's so awesome how the Holy Spirit works. So we're kind of getting it from a lot of different perspectives and different angles, so I love that. So I woke up the other morning, and this thought came to me, because I've been talking to a friend about she's been coming to me talking about her need to changing in herself and changing the way she's thinking, and she wants to change some things about her life, but she's having a difficult time with that. It's not easy when we want to change. So this came to me when I woke up the other morning. It says, until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain to change, no change will occur.
That's right.
Who knows, that came straight from the Holy Spirit. Because I'm like, okay, now hang on. Let me think about this, because it's really wrapping your brain around it. Until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, no change will happen. And that's how we are. If we know we need to change something in our lives, but we're kind of comfortable with where we're at, and we don't really see a need to change. Most people don't want to change. Would you agree? Most people are comfortable where they're at. But how many of you know that the gospel is continually challenging us to change? And what are we trying to change? We're trying to be more like Jesus. We're trying to be transformed, not conformed, not being squeezed into some pattern, but we're trying to be transformed into his likeness, the way that he designed for us to be from the very beginning, right? So we want to determine what is it that I need to change? And when you make that decision that you want to change, then you say, how much pain can I take? So I have to tell you a story. This happened just yesterday, so it's really fresh, and it's part of my detoxing from the last two times. I'm in my third 21 days of detoxing. I'm in procrastination right now. This is my 21 days of overcoming procrastination. But as you're in your present toxic, then you're still working on the past too and just keeping it fresh so that it becomes part of your non-conscious so that then you just do it automatically. How many of you guys do stuff on automatic pilot? How many of you guys do stuff on automatic pilot that you wish that you didn't? But then how many times do you do stuff on automatic pilot that you're so glad that you trained yourself to do it right? Now, one of the sayings that I said that some of you weren't here, I want to say it again because this is the process of what's happening every time you think. So we're thinking all day long, 24/7, even when you're sleeping, you're thinking, processing. There's 400 billion thoughts going through, but 2,000 what we're present right now. So as you're thinking, you're choosing and you're building. So your thoughts create your choices. Your choices create your decisions. Your decisions create your action. Your action creates your habits. Habits create your character. And character creates your destiny. Right? And so God has implanted in you a divine sense of purpose. And toxic thinking will literally block the purpose from being released in you. So just remember that toxic thinking will hinder God's plan from coming to pass in your life. That's why we need to recognize it and deal with it. Okay, so my story. Yesterday, Dwayne and I were supposed to go to San Antonio together, but he had a hot golf game that he had to be back by 2. Well, on Saturday morning, I'd been busy all week long, and I didn't want to be rushed on my Saturday morning. I wanted to sit in bed. I wanted to drink my coffee. I wanted to study. I wanted to do things that I haven't been able to do all week. I just wanted to have a chilled morning and then leave 10-ish. So he had told me the day before, he had texted me, what time are we leaving? I'm like, I haven't decided what's going on, because I know he's digging for something, which is fine. I mean, I wasn't upset about that. So I'm like, what's going on? Well, I need to be back by 2. So I can feel irritation that's starting to come up on the inside of me. It's like, okay. I don't want to try to be back by 2. I've got to go grocery shopping. I've got to run 2 errands, and I've got to go to Babies R Us and blah, blah, blah. I've got all these things going on my list in my head. So he comes home, and I said, oh, I know we were going to go to Home Depot and pick out a new grill, because I need a new grill, because I want to start cooking outside. So I need a new grill. So he comes home, and I said, okay, it's not going to work out for us to go together. I just don't see that happening. Would it be okay if I took your truck and I will go pick up the grill and I will run all my errands and then I can leave on my own and come back whenever I want to and then you can be here for your golf game? Sure. That worked out perfectly. So that's what we did. We got up in the morning. I did my thing. Enjoyed my morning. Got up. Got ready. He was working in his garden. He was trying to collect enough fruits and vegetables to create this... Gosh, now I can't even think what it's called, but it's like a salsa that you cook and you cook and you cook and you cook and then you, I don't know what it's called. Anyway, and you can it, whatever. So I'm like, okay, I'm leaving. He's starting to cook and so I'm out of there because I don't want to be a part of this. But he's asking all these questions before I leave and I'm like, you know what? I think you can figure this out. You just go for it. So I leave and I go and I run all my errands. I have a great day. I get home later than what I really wanted, but I got home with everything, unloaded the groceries, came in. Well, my kitchen was a disaster. It was a disaster. I came in with my bags. There was no place to put anything. So I feel this irritation rising up inside of me. But I caught myself about 5 minutes into it of the thoughts going on, and I thought to myself, I have just set my husband up to fail. Tomorrow I'm going to be married to him for 30 years. And never one time has he ever cleaned up after himself. So why would I expect for him to have cleaned up after himself when I come in? So anyway, I changed my attitude right there. I'm like, no, I'm wrong. I set him up to fail. I just bless him right now. He's a gracious man. He loves God. He's righteous. I just started confessing all the scriptures that I pray for him. And I just started thinking about, because he was still gone on his golf game. He texted me and he said, still at the golf course. And so I texted back, no, I thought you had gone clubbing with the boys. I mean, I knew where he was. He said, yes, this is just a cover. So I'm just playing with him, you know, with the, just texting and maintaining a good attitude. And so I cleaned up my kitchen. I got everything cleaned up. Got all the groceries put away. I got my baby shower gift ready. Everything was good. He still wasn't home. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm going to go out, check on my animals, check on my chickens. I went and sat in my new swing. And I just sat there and enjoyed my, I read my emails, and it's like, oh my gosh, how much peace do I have right now when I could be so wrought up waiting for him to come home? So I could be so irritated and slamming things and being and saying, look at this mess, and leaving it there and saying, look at this mess. But I didn't. So he came home. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. Got everything done. I'm here. Put the groceries up. Just waiting for you to get home. Come on, sit out in the swing with me. He's like, okay, I'm going to go take a shower. And he comes out. We sat out there, had a good time, visited. He never knew one time that I was irritated about what happened, unless one of you tell him. But it was for 5 minutes. It was only for 5 minutes, and so he doesn't need to know, right?
That's right.
Okay, so my point in telling you this is that it's working.
Yes.
It's working. Yes. I recognized it, what it was doing to me. And it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, okay, so you're going to sit here and poison yourself, being toxic, over something that's, it's your fault anyway. It's, you're wrong. You're wrong. So I took that thought captive. I prayed the word over the situation, and I had the rest of my evening with joy. Amen?
Amen.
Can I just make a comment? I think it's interesting that you said that it took you 5 minutes. Because I want everybody to know what I think I realize is that it doesn't mean it's not going to happen to
you.
You're
no.
still going to have these
you
things
are.
Well up in you.
Right.
And I had a story similar to that with mugs the other day in the deer pens. And I won't go into it because I know you eventually get to the point. God was showing us that something was wrong, and I was absolutely certain that, God, why is everything so hard?
Right.
You know, and I'm brought up,
right?
And actually he put us in the pen because a fawn had got in into the wrong pen, and if we hadn't gone in there and checked, we wouldn't have found him and put him back with his mother, found the hole that was washed under the fence and fixed it, and
there you go. Praise the Lord. See, if we be sensitive to those things instead of being so wrought up, it's like, why am I
but
here?
But it's not till you come back inside and you go, Lord, how do you put up with this? People, how do you do it?
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because he is God and we're not. That's right. One of the scriptures that kept coming to me was 1 Peter 1 and 13. You can turn there if you want to. It just talks about, I mean, once you start thinking about the mind, there's this little place in the back of your brain called the reticular activator. I feel like I'm in a cobweb, but this thing keeps catching on everything. The reticular activator. And what that is when you start focusing on something, what happens is that once you start focusing on it, you start seeing it more and more and more and more. Like, let's say you're car shopping, and you decide that you want a white Land Cruiser. I don't know, that's just what came to me. White Land Cruiser. So you start looking at pictures of white Land Cruisers, and you decide what color you want, what you want your interior to look like, whatever. You will start seeing white Land Cruisers everywhere you go. Was it because they were not there before? No. It's just that you have trained your reticular activator to focus in and look for that one thing. It does that with everything. So if you want to start studying something, you start thinking about it. And then everything you read, In fact, Dwayne's got a Sport Pilot magazine sitting on where he loves to read, and it's folded open. And when I looked down, it was this amazing story about this father and his daughter climbing this boulder, and it had to do with she was teaching him how to fly because of the way he was teaching her to climb this boulder, because she was small and it was huge, and he was teaching her how to take steps and be careful and to go through the steps of how to get to the top and being careful about and all those things. And so it was training him to, when he's getting ready to take a flight in his airplane, you take your steps. You don't just jump to the top. You have to go step by step by step. And so it was like the Lord was speaking to me. That's how we are. That's how we build. And in Isaiah, hang on, did we turn to 1 Peter? I guess we need to read that. 1 Peter 1:13. Somebody want to read that for me?
Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming.
Okay. Well, what translation is that, Carrie?
NIV.
Okay. Let me read it. What do you have? This is gird up. This is a gird up. Read yours, Helen.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay, good. Yeah. So the thing that kind of caught my attention was that my translation is gird up the loins of your mind. So what does it mean to gird up? That means that you're bringing it in. You're cinching it up, right? And loins actually mean that's where life comes from, right? So if you can gird up the loins of your mind, that means that you need to keep it in check, just like we read in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, right? That we bring every thought into captivity. No thought coming through your mind should ever go unchecked. We should make sure that everything that's coming to us, are we worrying about something? Then we need to stop. We need to check. Why am I worrying about this? How did Jesus defeat the devil in the wilderness? What? With the word of God. And so when that toxic thought comes to us, I'm worried about my son driving home from Houston in a truck that really is not that great. It's got issues. I feel a little bit worried about it. So what am I doing? I'm releasing too much chemicals in my body. It's causing trouble in my body. So what do I do? Father, I thank you that you are watching over Michael. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. I thank you that you hedge him behind and before and lay your hand upon him. Give your angels charge over to keep him in all of his ways. What does that do? It brings peace. It takes those chemicals and it brings them back. And it allows for healing to come into me. It allows those chemicals to be released in a really nice, keeping me in my happy place. Because that's my goal, right? It's to maintain my happy place. I don't like being angry. I don't like being frustrated. I don't like being worried. I don't like being anxious. Who does? But we have to take responsibility for ourselves. Amen. We can't change anybody else. We can encourage people. We can, we can even tell them, that sounds toxic. I did that with a friend of mine. She's like, well, she started questioning whether or not it was toxic. I'm like, look how it's making you feel. Are you having feelings of peace and love and joy? Are you having patience? No. I'm like, that's toxic. So it's okay. Sometimes, we just need a sounding board. And sometimes when we hear ourselves talking about it, how many of you all need a sounding board? Sometimes it's just good to just get it out and recognize it and say, huh, wow, that was really toxic. But then the important thing is that we have to replace it. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You have to say it. And Dr. Leaf's, one of the main things that is part of her process is that writing things down, journaling things. I know, Kim, you're really good about that. You're putting stuff on paper, all of your blogging, all that. That is significant. That is important. That is helping you to tear down toxic things and to build healthy trees. And I've never been a person to journal. I will get a journal started. I can go back and find, that will be my goal for the year, is to take a journal I've got a stack of journals that people give me, and I start them, and I start really good, and I'll go back, and I'll look at a journal that I had back in 2007, and I'll look, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's good. I mean, it'd be something that the Lord showed me. It's like, why can't I keep it? Why can't I just keep it going and keep writing? But I procrastinate. So hopefully now, because I have been faithful to write in my journal every single day through this 21-day detox, is that I'm writing things down. And I'm gathering my thoughts, and I'm wondering, why did I react the way I did yesterday? And I'm writing it down, and I'm dissolving it. And even though you're always going to have it, you're always going to have those memories, there's not going to be pain attached to them. Because you can't really erase it. But what happens is that it just there's no pain attached to it. One of the things that we can, I'm not going to get into that right now because I want to take you to the other scripture. Isaiah 28:10. This is another scripture that just popped into my head yesterday. Actually, it's 9 and 10. If somebody wants to read that out loud, that would be great.
Who is it he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk, to those just taken from the breast? For it is do and do and do and do, rule and on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there.
Okay, good. What translation is that?
That's
an NIV. Okay, so mine says precept upon precept. It says for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So that's what's happening as you're learning. It's a precept upon precept. So what you're doing is you're building. As you're thinking, you're choosing, and right now you're choosing, you're thinking about what I'm saying, and then you're building thoughts. And so then the more you think about it, like if you think about it throughout this day, and you start asking yourself, what am I thinking about? Why am I feeling this way? With every single thought, there is a emotion attached to it. And when you look at a healthy tree, when the tree is healthy, she calls it is a tree. So it comes up and it has all these branches. So the healthy, full tree, what it has on it, it has chemicals called molecules of emotion, and it looks like little raindrops, literally. It looks like little raindrops on here. So every thought you have goes through an electromagnetic phase and a chemical wash. So every thought you have goes through this process. So it's electromagnetic, that's electricity running through, and then the chemical. So every thought you have has an emotion attached to it. So if you have toxic, it's going through that, it's like an acid wash. It's like an acid rain, literally. So when it looks, when you look at that on a tree, it's the black tree. So when you're thinking toxic, and you're thinking about it, you're thinking about it, you're thinking and thinking and thinking, and it's becoming, you're becoming so wrought up about it, what happens is that it actually looks like little barbs, it looks like thorns, and it looks, when you look at it in a imaging, it's like a black cloud in your brain. They can easily recognize toxicity in people. It is incredible. And I'm hoping, I'm working on a PowerPoint right now, and I'm hoping that next Sunday when we're in the children's church room, we can figure out how I can do like a PowerPoint to show you these images so you can see what is really happening inside your brain. I'm so fascinated, and I just love that science is finally catching up with God. Like, they're truly acknowledging that we are wired for love. They're really recognizing that there is no chemical for all this negativity, for the depression and how they're trying to treat depression and all these things, that it's really happening, something that's between the ears. It's happening here and helping people develop that, where the medications and everything they're giving people, it's a Band-Aid. And it's causing, I can't even tell you the damage that it does to your body. You know, when you take chemicals for these things, when you can understand that it's what's happening with your thoughts. That if we can take every thought captive, that we can actually, I mean, she has research where they have helped people with autism, Alzheimer's, of course, depression, all these things. 75 to 97% of all physical, behavioral, mental disorders all start in the brain. Every one of them. It's what's happening on the inside. So we need to take responsibility and ask ourselves, what am I thinking? What am I doing to myself as I go through this? Another thing I wrote down is change isn't change until it's changed. Pastor Randy preached a message about that many, 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 many years ago, and I will never forget it. But change isn't change until it's change. And I can tell you that yesterday, change happened in my life. Because before, I will let you know that Duane would have known how annoyed I was and irritated that he had, because it felt disrespectful to me before. I took it so personal. But honest to God, it never crossed his mind, really.
Right.
And remember I told you, his grandmother told me, don't start anything today on my wedding day that you don't want to do for the rest of your life. Yeah. And I just didn't listen. I was 18. I didn't listen to her. I didn't give regard to it, but it is the absolute truth. And the thing is that now I have to take responsibility for that. And I have to find a happy place about it. And so yesterday I found joy about cleaning my kitchen up. Because that's how I wanted it. Do you know what I'm saying? Duane doesn't care. He doesn't care if the kitchen stays a mess. He does not care. It's not something that even crosses his mind. And that's okay. You can't hold that against him. I mean, it's something. I've just taken care of it for his whole life. We got married when we were 18 and 20. I mean, come on. I am a nurturer. I'm a caretaker. That's what I do. But now that our kids are gone and we have so much more time to do the things we want to do, I'm thinking, I want things to change. Right? But until, listen, honestly, I have to take responsibility for that. Change isn't change until it's change. I have to change me, and I have to realize that the reason I clean my kitchen a certain way is because that's the way I like it. The reason I want my house clean is because that's the way I like it. And I do it unto the Lord. And so that's what I've come to terms with in the last 63 days, is that why do I do what I do? And I ask myself, why do I do what I do? Because I love Jesus. Why do I take care of my husband the way I do? Because I love Jesus. And I want him to see Jesus in me.
Amen.
Because I know that when we are like him, change occurs. And it's not something I did. It's something he does. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who can bring conviction in our lives. I, for the longest time, thought I was executive secretary to the Holy Spirit. Honestly, I did. You can ask anybody who knew me. It's like, oh, yeah, no problem. I can take care of that. Oh, yeah, okay, no problem. I can take care of that. Oh, yeah, don't worry about asking the Holy Spirit. I can tell you what the Word says about that. I became executive secretary of the Holy Spirit, and I got fired. God fired me and told me I was done with that. The only person I needed to take care of was myself. And so now I get to tell you all my stories. And the bottom line is that we are responsible for ourselves.
That's right.
And I love my husband very much. I love him more today than I have ever, ever, ever. He's an amazing man, and he loves me. And he showed that too. I think that the one thing I can say about a father is that the best father is loving your mother.
Yes.
Showing my sons how much he loves me was an example to them. And that's what he's done. And he's an amazing, amazing man. So, having said that, anybody have anything they want to share?
Yesterday, I really helped Karen because we were coming out of Houston and this woman got behind us. And she hugged, went around, and she gave Karen a bad sock.
Oh!
So I think Top's thoughts were in his brain. So I pull up beside her. And Karen's standing up. And I waved and smiled like she was my next door neighbor.
There you go.
She dropped back about 10 miles and never called up with us again.
Really? She stayed behind you?
Yeah.
Wow.
She didn't want to see us. And she thought, they know me? She may not do that again.
Oh, my gosh. That is so good. That is so great. Who else? Yes.
When you were talking about what happened yesterday and then also about your son driving back from Houston, the Lord just reminded me of some verses I have memorized for 40 years, but in kind of in a new light, and that's Philippians 4, 6, and 7.
Awesome.
So if you have no anxiety about anything,
right. Toxic
thoughts,
right.
But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, which is what you did when you were praying for your son.
Right.
And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
It's that green tree.
Exactly.
That you're blooming your green tree. There's no black one. There's no thorns.
Exactly.
But you're being kept in Christ Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly. Bring it into captivity. And then verse 8 says,
yeah.
Go ahead. Well, it's think on these things, right?
Whatever is good, perfect, righteous, think on these things.
So he doesn't even leave it to question. He says, now this is what I want you to do. Do all that, and now think on these things.
That's
things that are worthy and praiseworthy and a good report, right?
Yes.
He doesn't even leave it to chance. He tells us exactly what to think about. Isn't he amazing? Thank you, Lord.
I said one thing that I recognize helping Bruce a lot, that negative thoughts or toxic things are addictive.
Yes.
Why would you take drugs? They give you a false euphoria,
yes.
But anger, all those things
yes.
are produced a false euphoria
yes.
that has temporary relief, but in the end ends in death.
Exactly.
And there's a way that seems right to a man.
Yes.
But in the end ends in death.
Destruction.
So, you know, we have to realize that if it doesn't line up with the word, then it's a toxic thought, and it's a false. It's the devil.
Yes.
And they have roots that we have to search out.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of ways to get to it.
Yep, absolutely.
We've got to get to it if we want to be whole. But
Rachel?
I've been working with a nutritionist to get healthy, and before I was never able to stay focused, and I was talking to a couple people, and it's like, until you invest money in something
mm-hmm.
or time in something, you're not willing to stay focused. And it was like God showed me with the Holy Spirit, until I invest maybe pain mm-hmm. or something into having a relationship with God, I'm not going to stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I went through a couple of really rough, toxic days, and it was like, oh my gosh, I think I would have rather went through what I went through than go through what I'm going through now.
Right.
But now I feel amazing.
Right.
But it was like I had to invest the pain, the not knowing if I was going to be okay,
mm-hmm.
and the money into, okay, I've invested so much in this now, so I only can move forward.
Right.
And that's kind of what God showed me with His Holy Spirit and with everything is when you invest enough pain
mm-hmm.
and you invest enough time into it, you don't want to go backwards.
It's true.
So it's just really...
There you go.
I heard a preacher say the other day, this is a medicine.
Yes.
And not a poison.
Exactly.
And I said, I told my wife, why don't we want to take our medicine?
Isn't that the truth?
Why don't we want to take our medication?
It's true, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you, Lord, that as we learn how to renew our minds to be more like you, that you're going to use us to be effectual in your kingdom, Father, because you said that when you're lifted up that you'll draw all men into yourself, Lord. So use our lives to be lifted up, and I just thank you so much that as we go out through this week that you change us, Lord, change us to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.